Shop the Sherwin-Williams sale and get 30% off Duration, Woodscapes, and SuperDeck products May 1st through the 11th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
If you love true crime and dark stories, then you'll love our other podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday.
He told them that in the year prior to Bundy's move to Utah, she had discovered objects that she couldn't understand in her house and in Bundy's apartment. These items included crutches and a meat cleaver that was never used for cooking.
Just search Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts.
You know, then this guy gets rich and he has some issues with sexual addiction.
Yeah, and control. And
yeah.
The Keith Raniere story.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts and don't miss a single episode.
In some ways, it starts to make things like Jeffrey Dahmer and that look tame, not in terms of the brutality of what they performed, but in terms of the psychology and manipulation of people.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Available wherever you download podcasts. A murder described as too awful to contemplate. That's the crime that John Miles Sharp was found guilty of. His victim's his wife and only child. Just how could someone turn so cold, dark, and evil to take the lives of those who rely and trust in them in such a cruel and horrific way? We try to contemplate all of these questions today on The Dark Side of Wikipedia.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is The Dark Side of Wikipedia.
John Miles Sharp is an Australian currently serving life imprisonment for the murders of his wife and only child. The nature and events of the crime were, in the words of the sentencing judge, too awful to contemplate. Sharp met his wife Anna Kemp when they worked together at the Commonwealth Bank of Australia. Anna was 4 years his senior. They married in October of 1994 and lived together in various locations around the Melbourne suburb of Mornington. Their daughter, Gracie Louise Sharp, was born on August of 2002. In 2003, Sharp purchased a spear gun from a local dealer, plus a second spear. He had not previously been interested in spear fishing and was known to have test-fired the gun in his backyard only once. On March 21st, 2004, Sharp and his family attended a birthday function for a nephew. Family members reported no arguments of any kind on this day. March 23rd, 2004, Sharp and his wife argued before retiring to bed about 10 p.m. He later left the bed and proceeded to his backyard garage to retrieve the spear gun. Returning to the bedroom, Sharp fired the spear into his wife's head at point-blank range. Noticing his wife was still breathing, Sharp fired a second spear into her head, killing her. He then covered the body in towels and went downstairs to sleep on a sofa. Next day, Sharp attempted to remove the spears from his wife's head but failed, removing only the shafts. He then buried his wife in a shallow grave in their backyard. On March 27, 2004, Sharp put Gracie to bed in her cot and then drank several glasses of whiskey. He retrieved the spear gun from the garage, loaded it with a newly acquired spear, which he fired at her head, penetrating her skull. With his child screaming loudly after suffering horrendous injury, Sharp retrieved the two spear shafts, which he had earlier removed from his wife's head, and returned to Gracie's bedroom. He fired both into Gracie's head, but realizing she was still alive, he withdrew one spear from his child's head and fired again, killing her. On March 29, 2004, Sharp purchased a roll of duct tape and a chainsaw from a local Bunnings warehouse store. The following day, he exhumed the body of his wife and cut it into three pieces. He wrapped the remains in a tarp and disposed of them in a nearby waste disposal site. On March 29, 2004, Sharp sent a forged email to Anna's family in New Zealand to create the impression Anna was alive and well. Rather than comfort the family, the email raised further concerns, and Anna's mother reported her disappearance to the police in Dunedin. Sharp later told police that Anna had moved to nearby Chelsea with her daughter and denied any knowledge or involvement in her disappearance. He also arranged for flowers in the name of his wife to be delivered to his mother-in-law on her birthday. During May 2004, Sharp gave several media interviews and appeared on national television speaking of his wife and children's disappearance. Sharp said he had spoken to his wife a week earlier and he appealed for anyone with information to come forward. So this is a very dark one. We're going to get into, we are in the Wikipedia entry on John Miles Sharp. And then after that, we're going to go into some articles and such that have been written by local media about the case as it was going on to get another perspective on it other than just the 10,000 foot overview. It is the Dark Side of Wikipedia. I am Tony Bruschi. Carol Hughes with us today. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our programs. So there you go so far. What do you think of good old John?
Oh, yeah, he's delightful. The way he remembered his mother-in-law's birthday.
That was, you know, they don't make him like that anymore.
You know, what the hell with people? It's like, how do you think you're going to get away with that? It's like, I know I'll cover my tracks by sending emails and sending flowers and no one will ever know.
And by the way, I was spearfishing.
Like that shit can't be traced back.
Yeah. It's amazing that one would think that you could just do that and be like, yeah, okay. Yeah, she just, I don't know, I talked to her last week. I don't know. People, that's not how things work. You're going to get caught. You're going to get found out. How do you think that you can just play along with this?
Because they think they're smarter.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah. Oh, I got this plan. Like, so how was that paid for? How are the flowers paid for? What computer was that email sent from? Like, they think they can cover all that shit up. And to be honest, someone I'm really close to, like a daughter and her mother, like you could tell if that email came from your daughter.
Yeah.
You can tell because we all have kind of a way that we type and online.
Sure.
Even, you know, in real life, how we talk. That kind of translates into how you communicate.
Yeah, completely. And then number one, I don't know how people do murder. Obviously people do, but even more just, what takes it to whole new levels is the parents that try and kill the kids. Cause it's just like, the only thing I can like get, it's like, you know, when you're mad at somebody, but that's where that stops. You get mad and you calm down to try and inflict pain or violence or death upon
divorce.
Yeah. It's like, Jesus Christ.
Why would you do that to that in that manner?
Yeah.
Like, I can't even wrap my brain. I can't, like, literally, I cannot think about that too hard.
I don't know how someone, I mean, there's something missing. Clearly, the people who are capable of doing that are not the same type of people that would be like pushing your kid out from out in front of the train. They would be the ones who would be like, oh, they should have been playing on the tracks. It's like, no, you're the parent. You're going to do anything you can to save the life of that child. That's your fucking job. That's your duty in life. And that seems to be missing in some people. And I'm sure there's, you know, various ways we could analyze this and go, I get it. I understand because of this and that. You know, they're not playing with a full deck. But at the same point, it's like, yeah, that's scary. That's scary for that kid then. You know, if they're not playing with the full deck, that should be the lifesaver, as that child tries to navigate childhood and survive it. you need that person there. Otherwise, it can go haywire pretty quick. But God, and the method, God, that Jesus, it just gives you fucking chills thinking about what he did.
Get that.
Let's continue into the Wikipedia entry here for John Miles Sharp on the dark side of Wikipedia. On June 22, 2004, police arrested Sharp. During his first interview, he continued to deny any knowledge of their whereabouts, but in a subsequent interview admitted to both murders. Police undertook a massive search of the Morrington landfill site over 3 weeks, and both bodies were found. On August 5, 2005, the Supreme Court of Victoria sentenced Sharp to life imprisonment, with a minimum non-parole period of 33 years for the murders. The Sharp family murders was a March 2004 Australian double murder in which John Sharp killed his pregnant wife Anna and his 19-month-old daughter Gracie in the Melbourne suburb of Mornington. For his part of the crime, he became generally known as the Spear Gun Killer and the Mornington Monster. Sharp repeatedly fired that spear gun into the heads of his victims and would later exhume the bodies of his wife, dismember her, and dispose of her body in a landfill, claiming his innocence. He'd later appear on national television in emotional interviews seeking information on his wife's whereabouts. John Miles Sharp was born on the 28th of February, 1967 in Mornington and grew up in that area. Sharp met his New Zealand-born wife, Anna Kemp, when they worked together at the Commonwealth Bank of Australia. They married in October of 1994. Anna was 4 years his senior. In 2003, Sharp purchased a high-powered spear gun along with a second spear from a sports shop known as Sports Philip Marine in Mornington. He had not previously known or had an interest in spear fishing. In order to become familiar with this operation in the backyard is where he practiced. Soon after, in September 2003, the Sharps purchased a house at 116 Prince Street in Mornington. In about November of that year, when Gracie was about 15 months old, Anna became pregnant again. Sharp later told police investigators that his pregnancy came as a surprise to him. Sharp apparently decided that he did not want another child. In his mind, one was enough of a burden, and he began to resent Anna and the unborn child. So, I'm trying to kind of work through this here, because Wikipedia tends to repeat itself a little bit. But it's something where he finally gets sentenced. What I don't understand about sentencing laws, and we're obviously talking about Australia here, and the U.S. does the same sort of thing, where they have the, like, 33-year, and then maybe after 33 years, we may consider allowing you to get a little bit of parole here. Why?
You don't deserve it?
Yeah.
So, did they just not get into this, like, the why, or is that going to come later?
I'm trying to get into that here as...
So, we're backing into it.
We're kind of backing into it, yeah.
Okay, because I'm like, what the hell did he do all this shit for? Like, I mean, and in most cases like this, there's not an answer that's ever going to make sense.
No.
But I'm like, why... But no, I think someone like him, I want justice in the end of this story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even like just lock him up forever in a room by himself. That's fine. But sit there and think about what you did for the next 50 years.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that this can go on and on and on like that is just really kind of shocking. I'm finding some information here. About the family, we'll get to that in a moment, as to why. And here's the thing. Let's play guess why he killed her and the daughter, because it doesn't make any sense to the normal, you know, healthy mind. When you have someone like that and with the little bits of pieces that we have on this case, any thoughts? I mean, I guess it was alluded to a little bit maybe with, you know, she was pregnant again, and then he's feeling this is like a burden. I mean, still, what would drive you to this? You know, that can't be the only thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to jump into the family story. learn a little bit more about maybe what motivated this mind of this very sick person to do what he did. According to family members, Sharp may have also killed his wife because she discovered him abusing their daughter, Gracie. Some of his relatives believe the claim comes as family letters reveal Sharp had a history of abusing children. Police undertook a massive search lasting 3 weeks at the Mornington landfill site, finally locating both bodies. Later, Sharp was found guilty of the murders and then sentenced to that minimum non-parole period of 33 years. The Sharp disappearance, appeals, confession, search, body recovery, and trial were all major news items in the Australian print and television media of the time. The murder also received general media attention in New Zealand, as well as by the New Zealand police force. Sharp's murder spree was a focus of the 2005 crime investigation season 1 episode, The Mornington Monster, in which the crime and Sharp's actions were reenacted. The murders also appear in the 2005 book 12 True Crime Stories That Shocked Australia by Paul Anderson, which deconstructs 12 of Australia's most intriguing and hideous crime sprees. Sharp's police confession is also highlighted in the 2008 book Criminal Profiling, An Introduction to Behavioral Evidence and Analysis, 3rd edition. In August 2009, the case was again reviewed on the 60 Minutes program Unmasking the Truth about human lie detectors who can unmask killers tearfully pleading for help and finding a missing loved one. All the time they know their husband, wife, even their own child is already dead. It's something you look at, and we'll go to the article here that I have next, which goes into some more details about the insight into the crime. But when you have someone like this and you're kind of trying to psychologically analyze the killer, with the way that they're able to split the personalities and sit there and talk about, yeah, I didn't know that she was dead and things like that for long periods of time, but then eventually kind of break off and go, yeah, I did it. Are they really believing for a period of time that they didn't do these things, or are they just, is it like just kind of on mute, but they know they can press that button anytime and boom, the sound's back in their head?
See, that's a hard thing to answer, because people like that, I think, will use any technique to kind of get themselves off or seem more sympathetic. Like, oh, you know, I didn't know. Oh, yeah, I did it. You know, I'm going to show them I'm crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, well, and he is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you really don't need to establish that.
No.
But, you know, I think if you can show that you're mentally ill, that maybe that'll be better for you. I don't know.
I mean, it's just kind of shocking, because you're trying to find sense. So, you know, healthy brains try to find sense in how did someone get from point A to point B.
And then you can't figure that out.
Yeah.
Because your brain doesn't work like his brain.
Yeah. Or it works and how his does not. Mm-hmm. Where it's just such, there's just key elements to humanity that are missing in someone like that. And the scary thing is, you know, the people like this, luckily, I think they're a little more few and far between. We don't have stories like this in every neighborhood and every town in America. But I think we have people like this in every neighborhood and every town in America, and it just kind of takes the right mixture of triggers where someone could pull this shit off and think that way, because there'll be little signs here and there in their, you know, maybe it's somebody you work with and just kind of like, that person's kind of off. They kind of react to things in weird ways. But they've never been presented with something as horrific as this, so how would they react? They're just kind of dealing that way with the coffee maker at work and, you know, in denying that they slammed the thing against the wall and cracked the pot. And they're never going to say that they did it, even though that may be on camera. But how would they handle something bigger? It's like the little things can be sometimes examples of a much more, you know, large capability If the recipe is right. Does that make sense?
I think, yeah. And I also think, though, even if... Well, let me back up. I think with some people, it's really obvious. That person's dangerous. You got to get away.
Yeah.
But with other people, it's not. Mm-hmm. And especially if it's someone you love, and that's your husband, and maybe you are, you know, he's not quite right, but I don't think he's capable of that.
Yeah.
You know, and you, everybody knows someone that's like really not quite right, but hasn't snapped, nor do you think they ever will in that way.
Yeah.
But you don't know.
I wonder, are we, it's a slippery, dangerous slope that world could go down in terms of ways that, you know, we examine people or that we, you know, can analyze them. And maybe there's some sort of technology that can be looked at and go, okay, you know, a lot of people with X disorder and their DNA says the likelihood of them going that far, not there. But this one has all of the signs that this killer had and that one did. And it's like all the red flags are up. Are we going to ever be in a time, and I think there's been movies about this, where it's looked at and you're able to identify such detailed information about your DNA and what makes you you, where people are literally stopped from doing crimes before they've committed them, but they're almost treated like they had committed them because the capability and the odds or likelihood are so high based on some of those genetic factors. Is that ever going to be a thing? I'm not saying in our lifetime, but could that, you know, could we get there someday? And I don't know that that's a good thing, but it makes me wonder.
Well, I think as batshit crazy as the world has been lately, yeah. I feel like nothing surprises me.
No.
We could go anywhere, but... You know, I think that would be sad to assume someone's going to commit a crime they never have.
Yeah.
Now, that said, you know, a lot of these stories, you look back at their childhood and you're like, saw that coming.
Yeah.
But then you can't do anything about it if they haven't done anything. You know, you can try to get the people mental health help and, you know, there's... things you can attempt to do, but I think someone who's sometimes extremely mentally unstable, they don't want any help.
Yeah. And or it's not available too. I mean, that's another one. You know, especially
we've talked about that. Yeah. That's a problem.
If there's no income and, you know, no insurance, and sometimes there's just not any help in the area. There's a lot of mental health deserts. It can be almost impossible. Or to get someone that's qualified, too. That's something that, you know, just having the person, that's great. But there's only a certain percentage that are really good that can be extremely helpful. And almost any therapist will tell you that. And it's kind of like, well, what makes you in that group of being the good one? And sometimes you kind of wonder, is it, you know, what part of my circle? We're good. Those ones over there, not so much. But it's just the ability, number one, is incredibly difficult. That just makes me wonder if we're going to get more in tune with that in our society of mental health help and helping people get through things. Or are we going to pull more away from that because people don't want to be open and we're embracing insanity in ways like we've never done in the past?
Well, I would love to see us be more open to getting people help.
That would be the ideal way. It's just
I mean, people spread batshit crazy stuff all the time and it doesn't seem crazy to them.
And that's the scary part. Where,
and then you're like, am I the crazy one?
Yeah. There's a free rein for crazy right now. And I hope we look back on it going, remember when like it was okay to say almost anything and you could be believed? Yeah. Those days sucked. But who knows? Let's continue in. This is an article that was written about the case. A Melbourne man who used a spear gun to murder his pregnant wife and 20-month-old daughter has been jailed for life. John Miles Sharp, 38, breathing heavily, bowed his head and wiped his eyes as Victorian Supreme Court Judge Bernard Bontergo handed down two life terms with a non-parole period of 33 years. The former bank worker turned Convoyancer appeared unsteady on his feet throughout the judge's sentencing remarks. Sharp pled guilty in February this year to the murders of Anna Kemp, 41, and 20-month-old Gracie Sharp at their home in Mornington on March 23rd of last year. He killed Mrs. Kemp with 2 spear gunshots in the head as she slept. 4 days later, he murdered his daughter with 4 spear gunshots. Justice said Sharp's killing of his wife was singular in its verbality. Sharp had murdered his daughter simply so that your first crime would not be discovered, the judge said. The court was told Sharp's dismemberment of his wife's body with a chainsaw and placed the remains in his daughter's body in waste collection bins at the Mornington transfer station. Sharp pretended his wife had left him for another man and taken their daughter and appeared on television expressing his concern. A justice who imposed 2 life sentences said Sharp had been fully aware of what he was doing. His crimes were egregiously wicked, he said. He said Sharp had told police he'd been brooding about his unhappy marriage. The judge said psychiatrist Dr. Lester Walton had described Sharp as socially inept, dependent, passive, and a retiring individual who was unable or reluctant to confront his problems. Sharp believed the only way of solving his marriage difficulties was to kill his wife. Anna Kemp's mother broke down as she watched the sentencing with other family members via a video link from the southern New Zealand city of Dwendon. Sharp's elderly parents today described his crimes as horrific. Valerie Sharp read from a prepared statement outside the court as husband Miles placed an arm around her. She cried as they walked from the court. John's crimes were horrific, and he will serve the sentence given, Mrs. Sharp said. He has given himself a life sentence for what he has done, and he will live with this for the rest of his life. Mrs. Sharp also described the moments or the months following the double murder as a very stressful and traumatic time for both families. One of Mr. Sharp's nieces, naming herself only as Amanda, issued a statement today saying it was on behalf of non-supportive family members of John Sharp. We would like to say that John's crimes have stolen 3 beautiful and precious lives, Amanda said. We also send our heartfelt condolences to Anna's family in New Zealand, whose pain and suffering is tremendous. Amanda also thanked police in Victoria and New Zealand for pursuing the case. Victoria Police Homicide Squad Detective Inspector Steve Francis said today, it has been a long and sometimes physically and emotionally difficult investigation. That's something I don't think we talk about a whole lot, but what about being in the shoes of the parents?
Oh my God, killer? It couldn't. Well, his parents or her parents.
Or, yeah, either or.
I just couldn't imagine.
I it's not like it's a competition here of who's going through worse shit, because each have their own things. One, you know, has lost their child and their grandchild to the murder of this horrible human being. The other lost their grandchild, and they just discovered that their son was capable of shooting a spear gun into the head of his wife and granddaughter. And then to try and come to some sort of term with this human being that you raised.
Well, I think it would be difficult to process that because you almost I can't say understand like that crime of passion.
Mm-hmm.
Like they just lost it and killed the wife. But then you don't days later kill the daughter.
No.
That's premeditated at that point. And the fact that he had bought the spear gun and didn't spearfish.
Bought a new spear.
So the whole thing seems premeditated. But how could you live with your daughter? Like, I don't get it.
No.
Take her to her grandparents' house. Take her to her aunt's house. Take her to somebody's house.
It's something,
you know, but I guess to him, in order to make this lie seem more real,
yeah,
why not just say the wife ran off with somebody else and you still have your daughter? Why do you do that?
Or why, if you're going to, I mean, what are you accomplishing? I mean, if you want to go away or you can't be part of that relationship, then leave. Why would you kill them?
It kind of reminds me of that Chris Watts story, the guy in Colorado who killed his wife and his 2 kids.
Yeah.
and then disposed of him, and then like led the cops, you know, the cops are, they've got their body cameras on, and he's walking him around the house. Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, he did nothing. I don't get it. I don't get it.
No. I mean, there's not a lot of making sense about something that is completely insane. We do have a final chapter on the episode. We're going to talk about what happened as the remains were found and go into one of those stories that was published in Australia at that time on July 7th of 2004. Go a little more detail on that and discuss as well. If you want to hear that discussion and then also have access to all of our advanced episodes, if you're sitting here, you like the show, you want to binge away more, there are months of episodes waiting for you before they're released to the public when you become a Darksider. And you also get our final chapters, which, like I said, we're going to be talking about that in the final chapter. It's available to you. Go to patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia or go to our website, darksideofwiki.com, and click Become a Darksider. You'll get access to the final chapters, the advanced episodes, the whole archive of the show, and it's all commercial free. So you like the show, binge away, no ads, get all the extras, and help keep us on the air. $5 a month to become a Darksider and help keep Dark Side of Wikipedia on the air. We do appreciate that. And Carol and myself, we'll see you in the final chapter of the John Miles Sharp story over at patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia. Thanks for listening.